a special TV Dudes episode recorded January 12th, 2017. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mid-season check-in. Alright guys, we are doing a special episode here today discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, which is, it's gone 9 episodes in, and this came as a special request from one of our Patreon patrons, EJ McGinnis. So, thank you very much, EJ, for all of your support over on Patreon. A little quick reminder to all the rest of you listeners, you guys can go to patreon.com/TVDudes and help us out with a per episode pledge. And hey, if you guys make a particular donation, you guys can request a special dedicated episode as well.
You know, this reminds me of when I was watching TV in the 70s and the special presentation thing would come on and a little spinny. So yes. In your head, if you've watched TV that long, imagine a little spinny special presentation thing.
Oh, nice.
These are the kinds of things that now show up at the start of Tarantino movies.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah. But this is a special presentation of the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
Oh, man. It's so good.
I just wanted that.
So, yeah, we are discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4. This is the Ghost Rider season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like I said before, it's 9 episodes in. It just came back from its winter break where it had its mid-season finale. The first 8 episodes covered the Ghost Rider saga with the agents, and the new season's picking up with the life model decoys going on.
Yeah.
So I got to say first to EJ McGinnis, I had successfully escaped the orbit of this show. I'd been griping about it for 3 seasons. I was going to quit, and I was like, they're going to have to cancel the show. I'm going to keep watching it. But I managed. I summed up because there was so much TV, I managed to escape its orbit. And now
Godfather 3'd you.
You godfathered me, man. You pulled me back in. I had to go back and watch like 5 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't be like that. So, okay, going around, like, Les, you have seen all of this. Oh, yeah. Wait, by the way, I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Les.
We got 4 of us here on mic. I should have announced that at the start. But, Les, you've seen all of it, correct?
Yep. I'm fully caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all 4 seasons, and How are we going to discuss just this season, or are we going to take a step back and discuss like the myriad issues with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
in
general?
We can take a step back in a bit,
okay.
But let's focus right now.
It's hard to even talk about one season without discussing how this show works and doesn't work.
This is a tried and true topic for us.
But yes, I'm caught up.
We've visited Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. throughout the previous 3 seasons with a mixture of hope and disappointment.
I had a love-hate roller coaster with this show that was similar to your role with Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I keep going back to it.
Yep.
Well, I feel like the show, you know, in the very beginning, it couldn't really figure out what it wanted to do. So instead of getting canceled like a normal show, a respectable TV show, they were like, oh, no, let's just figure it out as we go. And they've been doing that for 4 seasons or 3 seasons now.
I think, and that's to sort of Les's point, is that I think as I watch this, I realized that the problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., among the problems I have with it, but the biggest problem I have is that this is sort of Marvel doing what Brian Bendis does with his Marvel comics, which is he just kind of fits whatever story he wants to tell into whatever books he has handy. So the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. shouldn't be dealing with Ghost Rider and the Darkhold doesn't matter. The fact that they shouldn't be doing a life model decoy Terminator story doesn't matter. The fact that the Inhumans have nothing to do with S.H.I.E.L.D., like, they're just like, these story elements. Yep. Like, it does not feel like a S.H.I.E.L.D. show. It feels like here's a random Marvel Universe show.
And I know how they got there. Somebody went to them with the beauty of the S.H.I.E.L.D. show being that they're nobodies, that these are no-name people in the Marvel Universe, and so you can use them to throw a lens on any facet of the Marvel Universe, but then that's immediately what they did not do with this show.
Right.
and so what you end up with was a full season of a faceless team that we were having to meet for the first time, and you could hear the fan freak out across the internet of nobody cared about Daisy or Sky or whatever the hell her name was in the first season. Yeah. Nobody liked Grant. Nobody cared about May.
No one liked Fitzsimmons initially.
Yeah.
It took a little bit to warm up to them.
I mean,
you got to say,
I'd seen the fades, and so Fitzsimmons was great, but the joke was stupid. Like, the Fitzsimmons name joke was dumb from the beginning.
Yep.
And they like Kyle said, they just lean in. Instead of getting canceled, they had Disney money behind them. They just keep leaning into this kind of bad format.
Or fixing the problems. The problem is that there's not a problem with these actors. All these
they're
all likable actors. Even the actress playing Sky, some people don't like her, but I think she's perfectly fine.
Well, guys, let's take a step back.
Okay.
Let's discuss this season. We can go into fix it territory later.
Okay.
But let's discuss what's going on in season four, because we open up with the Ghost Rider being introduced, and this is Robbie Reyes' version of Ghost Rider, not Nicolas Cage. Regrettably, that would be a completely different season.
That would have been an awesome cameo, though.
I'm giving you the Ghost Rider. I give to you, bro.
That's my terrible Nick Cage impression.
Why didn't they just CGI Nick Nicolas Cage? We can do that now, right?
CGI all these people into stuff.
We have the power.
Is there a legal reason between the movie universe why they couldn't use Johnny Blaze?
No, they could have used Johnny Blaze. I believe that the decision made here, and I don't know, but my guess was Robbie Reyes is a Hispanic character, which was a diversity, which is a thing that Marvel's aiming for, and they need to be. Mm-hmm. And he is also the current version in the comics, and they probably want to line up a little bit.
That was kind of what I was figuring.
Well, I also feel like, in a way, they feel like they've done a little bit of Johnny Blaze. They just recently regained the rights to Ghost Rider. Yeah. It was owned by Fox Studios for a long time. And as part of that deal of relinquishing a lot of characters, they had it in their pocket, but they wanted to do something a little bit different than those terrible movies and distinguish themselves. So they did this terrible one.
Well, and there's another reason, too, why. So when Fox lost those rights, they lost it because they couldn't produce a property within enough time. So Marvel, all they have to do is get this in somewhere, and now the rights get reverted back.
So Fox didn't manage to make their Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
Right. Yeah, the same deal.
Under the wire and get it. Yeah.
You know, the same thing
happened with Daredevil.
Their Ghost Rider here.
Is that why that exists?
I think their Ghost Rider is pretty good. I think they did a good job. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. has never been great with special effects. I think their Ghost Rider effects were some of their better ones.
They really did pretty well with
and
it.
I think the whole story about the guy playing Robbie Reyes, I like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think had they done a story about Robbie Reyes becoming the Ghost Rider, learning that his uncle was, spoilers, the bad guy, and dealing with the Darkhold, which is a Marvel tradition. That's a long-held Marvel artifact. That's a show I'd been interested in. But as I watched it, I'm like, why is Daisy Johnson here? Why is S.H.I.E.L.D. involved in all of this?
Yep.
It's an unnecessary kind of melding of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought what was kind of interesting is it opens up with... Okay, first off, I'm going to go on a quick tangent to complain about something. It opens up on doing sex appeal of Daisy Johnson character quite unnecessarily, as well as some extremely violent stuff going on with Ghost Rider kind of tearing up this white supremacist gang.
Yeah.
They're white supremacists. Go for it. But it just seems like, look, we can be edgy too, Netflix, in a way that was fuck off, dude. You guys are ABC Family Show, and you're not going to try and make this transition all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But, the stuff with, the whole team, being split up, the roles are shifted. Max now in lead over Coulson, and Fitz and Simmons are segmented off from the rest of the group, and, everyone's kind of fractured. I thought that could have been something that was a little bit more interesting to explore, but it seems like they didn't even really do that much. They just kind of went, oh, they're apart, and now they're back together.
Well, yeah.
I feel like that's part of the formula for this show. Week to week, it's almost like they have a fishbowl, and they pull a couple names out, and it's like, all right, you guys are on story A, then they take these characters, they're on story B. And they do that a lot, where, especially in the first season, they mix the characters up and put them in each other's missions.
Yeah, this season, it seemed like the way that they felt or feel that they're addressing that shift up in command. Because, I liked Mac being over Coulson for a minute. I liked Jason Mara being in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. in general.
Yeah, can I jump into that real quick? Because is it Jason Mara or Jason O'Mara?
Jason O'Mara.
This is a guy who I think of as extremely boring. I've liked him and stuff, but he's a boring guy. I thought he did a good job.
They could not have found a better role. They needed the boringest guy. Yeah. It actually looked like they went through S.H.I.E.L.D. and found the boringest guy.
Yeah.
for a moment where that the S.H.I.E.L.D. PR team would be going, we need the boringest person in a suit. And big, strong, quiet.
Also, kudos to one of the things that I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does badly, and one of the reasons that CW's shows work so much better, it's not that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that much more cheesy than the CW stuff. This is not that far afield from Legends of Tomorrow. But they are unapologetic in going for Easter eggs and characters we know, whereas on CW, whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they keep wanting to make new characters, and they're not interesting. I mean, at least give us a guy we know. And so when they made the director, Jeffrey Mace, who, if you guys don't know, is Patriot, who is one of the Captain Americas from, like, the 70s, I was like, that's a nice little nod.
Yeah.
More of that, please. And they do the Watchdogs, but they're not an interesting version of the Watchdogs. Like, they occasionally like throw these little bones, but they're not going all in on the the Easter eggs.
Like Kyle noticed that the plane is a Model 616.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that's a that's a Meta Universe Easter egg.
Yeah.
Now Jeffrey Mace, he is one of the Captain Americas.
Yes.
And he's also an Inhuman.
Well, that's the S.H.I.E.L.D. twist, is that he's an Inhuman.
Yeah,
and that's on just the show. Like once again trying to cram. Apparently, their shitty version of the Inhumans, because now we're getting an Inhumans TV show.
Yeah.
Upcoming with, and it's supposed to be not tied into this as far as
like
I understand.
ABC saw the trailer for Legion and they were like, oh shit, we gotta get it together. Yeah.
Only they've been doing this for, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been on the air now. We're on season 4. Like, how have they not responded in some fashion other than, like, look, we can be edgy?
Yeah.
Because
it still feels very much like the show it's always been.
Yes.
It's just they keep welding other pieces to it. It's like a plane is flying and they don't want to stop it and fix it.
And whether that's good or bad, I mean, I got to give them points for consistency. I rewatched the pilot this morning, actually, the season 1 episode 1, and I got to say it is better than it holds up better for me now than it did when it first aired with the expectations of the show being brand new.
Right.
It's not a bad episode of television. It just was not a great pilot for what I wanted out of this show.
I hated that pilot.
I know.
But it very much looks like the exact same show. I mean, I then started skipping ahead into season 2 and season 3, and lighting, costumes, set, everything.
Yeah.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
This show looks like of a piece. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, if I could say something on a positive note about season 4, I just caught this week the first episode of the second half of the season premiered. And, you know, the episode still doing a lot of the same stuff. They set up this main villain character, and I think it was a poor performance on the actress's part. But at the end of the episode, you guys all watch it?
Yeah.
Spoiler territory?
Yeah, I think you're fine.
When dude gets killed in the helicopter, that was some cold-blooded shit.
Yeah.
They pretty much set up this main guy, and they give him the choice, like, oh, come with us, we're gonna save you, we're the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's like, no, I'm gonna go with my sister, who hates me.
Yeah.
And then she just shoots him next scene. I was like, that's some cold-blooded storytelling.
Yeah, but then they dumped him in the water and he re-cocooned, so he's gonna be back.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Every once in a while, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has done something that's been, like, stunningly vicious. Veronica Hand's death.
Yeah.
Was a moment of like, oh, wow, all right, this show might go somewhere. But then they don't seem to capitalize on these things.
They had some creepy stuff with Hive, too, I remember.
That was last season. It's 22 episodes long. These seasons should not be this long. I mean, if Netflix can't make a Marvel show sustain 12 very well, what the hell are you doing with these other 10?
Yeah.
And what does it say that Grant Ward kind of became one of the more interesting characters of this
ridiculous.
Show?
I found it ridiculous that they had to make up this many characters. I'm with Randy. You guys have the whole Marvel universe to play with. You didn't even need to make up 5 bland people for me.
Right. And also, I could see...
But Ward turned into something.
The argument that you could have made early on... was, well, we don't know what's going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We don't want to reserve someone for TV that then is going to be in the movies. And I'd be, okay, that's fine, except the movies are obviously not paying any attention to you.
Yeah.
You can do your own version of this, because they're just going to ignore whatever you do.
So they keep complaining about it. Like, why wouldn't you guys look at me?
Yeah,
no.
just accept that you are not going to be in the Marvel Universe. And use whatever you want, because they're going to ignore it anyway. So use as many characters as you want.
They're not allowed, though. Like, they wanted to do the life model decoys early on, but that's, like, part of the whole Coulson thing, I think.
Yeah.
Well, because it was like, going to be that tie-in, but they had to wait until Age of Ultron, which, you know, I guess even back then had already been in the planning stages.
See, and I think that may be one of the things we got to give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that they are working with restrictions we don't even know about, that we don't see, because...
And they're working with the network.
and the thing is, all these restrictions, unfortunately, they don't come with an upside. Because the upside of all these restrictions should be that they are tightly integrated with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're not getting that benefit, but they are getting all the restrictions.
Well, and this stuff even makes it into the episode synopsis. I mean, they've been trying to do this. It made the news when Captain America movie came out and so directly impacted the show.
Yeah.
But literally episode one of season one is Centipede that ends up creating the Death Clock program or the Death Lock program.
Yeah.
But the Death Clock program would be bad.
That'd be amazing.
but the Death Lock program, that's Extremis. Like that ties directly into Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, they name check Extremis in
They do. Yep.
And then I think in season two, they're, tying directly into Thor: The Dark World.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like even then they're playing in like the backfield of the Marvel cinematic. And they're still not getting to be tied in really.
You guys all caught the Doctor Strange tie-in this season, right?
Well, there was so much Darkhold stuff.
But well, the Darkhold stuff, but I think the direct tie-in was in the alternate universe episode where they create a portal and then Ava, she has like these gloves.
Yeah.
And she actually does some like Doctor Strange writing in air type thing to open this portal.
Okay, I love Ada. But I like that actress. Yeah. I liked her in, was it Galahad? Not Galahad. Gallivant. Yes, she's the evil queen in Gallivant. She's a scream. So watching her play a robot was a trip. And I've been waiting for him to do Life Model Decoys. If there was a S.H.I.E.L.D. story to do something with, I assumed Life Model Decoys should have come up.
But you know what? I like the Life Model Decoys. Life Model Decoys are supposed to be an element of the Marvel Universe. So you don't start with the LMDs going bad. You don't start the story there.
Yeah, no, they need to be helpful. No one's going to trust them now.
Because, and the worst part was this episode was Mac, and they made every reference. They talked about Maximum Overdrive, they talked about Terminator. If you're doing a second or third tier runoff of every robot go bad story I've ever seen, don't call attention to it at every turn.
Yeah, it was like they were mocking you. Like, you're still watching this? It's just Terminator. You're still watching?
It really was. It was like Mac was there for the audience being like, I can't believe we're doing this.
And even at the ending, too. It's like, what was that one-liner that he said? I almost wrote it down. But it was something like, you're going offline.
Yeah.
And he chops her head off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like what you were mentioning earlier, Randy, that unlike how the CW treats it, there's an element of shame to every part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They so can't fully embrace this world that they have to make jokes about everything. And it's not like Cisco jokes from The Flash.
Yeah.
It's, why are we doing this?
I get frustrated watching the show at this point because I liked Phil Coulson in the movies. One of my favorite characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now he's dead in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I've got this pale imitator on TV, and I don't like him anymore.
So what do you guys think didn't work with the Ghost Rider, and what did work with the Ghost Rider storyline in the first half?
I actually think the Ghost Rider storyline, with the exception of like the parts where you know he's sitting with S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and they're like, you got to help us. I didn't like that. But actually just telling his story about how it impacted his brother and then how his uncle was involved, I really enjoyed that. That might have been one of my one of the better parts of the series for me.
That episode where they go back and show his story, where it's the Ghost Rider story, that was one of the better episodes because, again, S.H.I.E.L.D. was barely involved.
Yeah.
one of the constant and kind of horrible things about this show is that in turning its lens on the rest of the Marvel Universe, it keeps picking things that don't gel with S.H.I.E.L.D. particularly well. And that's how I felt about Ghost Rider and Darkhold, and like, oh wow, this is a nod to the fact that the cinematic universe is bringing about magic, and so the TV universe in its own weird ways is going to have to introduce magic. But then the inappropriate not gelling, S.H.I.E.L.D. still doesn't work, but Ghost Rider worked this season, and I don't really like the Reyes Ghost Rider. I don't like the Blade Skull. I just don't like the aesthetic look of that. I think it's stupid to call him the Ghost Rider when it's a car. it's one of those things that bothers me that everybody knows that he's the Ghost Rider. Like, several people call him the Rider that don't ostensibly know that history or wouldn't make that semantic leap considering he's driving a car. He's Ghost Driver.
Yeah.
Like, Ghost Driver. Not a single person leapt to that. Everybody went to the Rider. Like, no.
Yeah. You know what could have fixed that? This is another frustration for me is that I can always think of fixes for this. And I got to imagine someone in the writer's room is like, what if we did this? And no one's listening to them. Because every time I watch the show, I'm correcting in my head what they should have done. And like, all you got to do is establish that the Ghost Rider existed. Just say, oh yeah, there was a guy named Johnny Blaze in the 70s. He was the Ghost Rider. This looks like him. And then it makes sense why everybody knows it.
But they spend half their lines going, a guy with a flaming head? That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. No one in S.H.I.E.L.D. can believe this is fucking possible.
Yeah.
man, you met a god. I mean, he may not be a real god, but yeah. but he's Thor. Come on.
Well, can we get into the part of the discussion where we make suggestions of what could make the show better?
One thing I want to mention, the Darkhold.
Okay.
The Darkhold is a creepy little Cthulhu-type book. It does not have a bedazzled Darkhold on the cover.
That reads palindromic yes. directions. I hated that so much. Thank you so much. That logo's so friggin' stupid.
One of the issues of S.H.I.E.L.D. Has long been
because they read Dan Brown's Angels and Demons,
it
my hurt. Friend.
Seriously, when I realized they turned the book and no characters notice it.
Yeah,
no characters notice that it says Darkhold on it.
Yeah. It's just, that's one of the things that S.H.I.E.L.D. and it looks cheap. It's always had this bad production design, and I think that's a production design. They were like, how do we build the Darkhold? Do we put weird, creepy symbols on it? What if it says Darkhold, but it's a palindrome? Brilliant! Build it!
Yeah, what if we just took a bad font that reads all right?
A palindrome. Reads backwards and forward, right?
Yeah,
right?
Taco Cat.
Where you flip it upside down.
Once. Yeah, it's like mirror typography. It's just a really weird font, and it feels like an insulting joke.
Yeah.
Like
You know, you when you watch a show like Adventure Time and see how awesome their Enchiridion looks, then you look at the Darkhold in this, and you're like, that's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
A cartoon did it a lot better than you guys.
And sadly, still, the trapped people in Ghosts, like the people getting a hold of the Darkhold, and then that whole lab going out of control, is like the Darkhold tells the guy totally how to make the thing they're trying to make in the lab, but then shows him 4 or 5 steps past it that tempt him to burn that, like, oh no, I finished the experiment a month ago. I'm going to burn all y'all. I'm way past that now.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that whole subplot. I enjoyed Robbie's whole subplot and spoiler, having Blaze that leans down and taps him to be Ghost Rider. He's got the,
I don't know if you saw,
he's got
person,
a bullet hole in the skull.
The
is that Blaze?
I don't know.
I feel like it was supposed to be.
He's got the bullet. If I'm misremembering my comics here, but he's got the bullet hole.
No,
I think that was Johnny Blaze.
I think you're right.
Because there's been too many Ghost Riders at this point for me.
They did miss an opportunity, by the way, because there's a point where Mac gets taken over by the spirit of the Ghost Rider. He rides out on a motorcycle.
Yes.
And at no point does the motorcycle catch fire. I'm like, you couldn't have given us that.
Yeah, and then the weird affinity for chains. I saw a lot of people online that were thankfully trying to helpfully split the hair of hey, not all Ghost Riders are the same demon.
Yeah, sure.
And that, you know, this Ghost Rider doesn't have the penitent stare, and that's not this ghost, you know, that these are different powers.
Sure, yeah, fair enough.
All of that gets muddled so much on the show that it doesn't matter. I was reading this stuff online going, you think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s paying this much attention? They're not.
Yeah.
So are there comic writers from Marvel even touching this show, even in any way helping out?
I don't think so. I think Jeff Loeb is the guy in charge.
Jeff
Loeb is a terrible person to do this, because Jeff Loeb is a guy who he knows a little bit of comics, and he's a guy who lets artists do what they want.
Yeah, and I know Loeb because of Tim Sale.
Yeah, and so he's the artist writer because he lets them do what's fun and and he can do crowd pleaser stuff, but he's not the right guy to be running this. You need a guy like
Mark
Waid.
He did two fun Batman, though. He's riding off of that forever.
You need a Mark Waid. You need a Dan Slott. You need a Kurt Busiek. You need somebody who knows the Marvel Universe inside and out.
Oh, my
who can
God.
Bring
Kurt
in,
Busiek's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would
bring
be
great. Bring in a D-list character and make them fun. Like, it's definitely doable.
Early on, they have the guy, Gravitron.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they even got an actor I adore to play him.
Yeah.
And I spent that whole episode just, making little squee noises, this is so good. And then at the very end, they have him pop back out as the Stinger, and they have him, and you're like, oh shit, he literally never shows up.
Never
on
seen
the
him again.
Fucking show again.
And then they used the Absorbing Man, and the first time he showed up, he was the Absorbing Man, and he had the ball and chain. I was
one
like,
of the,
oh,
one of the
it.
Best
then,
effects
yeah.
they've done at that point, yeah. too. When they have him sit there, they have somebody sending him. Like, the way they're bribing him is to send him things with intricate structures.
That was a great idea.
They send him a really weird diamond, and he's sitting there in his house just turning his hand to diamond. It's one of the best effects S.H.I.E.L.D. had done to that point.
Yeah,
and then, they waste that.
Every now and then, they hit something I like. I like Mac. I think Mac's a great character. I love his shotgun axe thing.
Some of his best lines are the bad shotgun axe lines.
So, okay, Kyle.
I'm dying over here.
You ready?
All right.
Let's discuss how we would fix Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think there's one big glaring thing there, and that is it doesn't need to be a large ensemble show.
No, it does not.
I say you just rip X-Files off. You do Agent Coulson, and then you cast Haley Atwell type, because obviously you wouldn't bring that character in there.
Yeah. Just kill everyone off.
Well, no. This is like if we could go back to, you know, and stop them from ever starting one. It. But the thing is, the show reinvents itself so much from season to season.
You could do it.
Why couldn't you just, you know, give a reason why everybody, well.
We all rolled with Archer Vice, and we're all going to roll with Archer Noir.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like this show's fucking up too bad. You could just do it.
The other thing is, the special effects. Everybody complains about the special effects. Why write them in?
Yeah.
If you can't,
yeah, agree.
If you can't put your money towards it, I feel like it'd be
put
way
your money
more
toward getting comic writers to help you out. Seriously. Yes. Storyline. Yeah.
Yes. When you see a movie like Chronicle that tells a telekinetic story that escalates to an outstanding finale,
ooh,
and saves its money. Like I mean, that whole movie was an exercise in low budget. They didn't even buy tripods. The thing's fucking shaky cam.
I feel like if this was, like, let's say Stephen Moffat was doing this, like Sherlock style, okay? You wouldn't see the glowing gadgets, you know, every time they open their coat or do this. They would have, like, safe houses everywhere. They would just have all this, like, clever, you know, things around them that would tell you, oh, they are a secret organization, but they are literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And here they just kind of seem like another branch of the government.
Well, they don't seem like an organization. They seem like 50 people working out of a basement.
Yeah, I've never gotten the feeling on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that there's more than 25 or 50 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents tops.
And that's a problem.
And it was the saddest because then they go to Age of Ultron and you have that, Winter Soldier. Mm. They had the scene in Winter Soldier where you see that, oh, there's some branch of S.H.I.E.L.D. that still must be operating because Nick Fury's like, hey, check out, we're making all these helicarriers. Coulson wasn't involved in any of that or that giant organization.
Yeah, though they had a bus. They had a big airplane. That was what they had.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, you could make the argument Winter Soldier was all about the destruction of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So when they came back and there was no S.H.I.E.L.D., that makes sense. Coulson was like rebuilding. That was their whole thing. I'm going to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D.
That was the first time that made sense, though.
You can't rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. in a TV budget. That was the problem with that whole plot. And if you're going to do it,
yes, you could.
A lot of it's going
to be. They just don't know how to do it.
They just don't know how to do it. You're right. You're right.
the amount of money that I understand they put into each episode, I'm like, where's it going?
I don't know.
Because the special effects aren't that good. Yeah. And you watch other shows and what they're able to do with their budget. Yeah. Fargo's spectacular.
Yeah.
Most like FX shows have a smaller budget than this, and they look great.
Randy, you mentioned that even Agent Carter, it looks kind of cardboard and cheap sometimes.
Yeah.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sometimes looks weirdly, not just effects bad, but just sometimes cheap.
Cheap. Yeah.
I think the problem with trying to produce the show right now is I honestly feel if you look at their storyboard for each episode, they've got these markers where, okay, action sequence has to happen now, adventure sequence now, and they each episode need to hit these points because it is the action adventure hour for the people who are watching the ABC Monday through Friday.
I have seen great performances out of every single actor on that show.
Yeah.
They are all capable of it, given proper material,
absolutely,
given great vision from a director, all of it. But ultimately, it comes down to scripts that aren't challenging. They're all easy. They're all formulaic.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they're kind of muddled and boring.
You know what this show really is? It's NCIS Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Yep.
Ooh.
And it's not even that good because NCIS
would be better cases than this.
Yeah.
One of the best things I think that they've done, or the only genuinely creepy thing that they've done, was Hive for a little bit.
Yeah.
And not even the full run of Hive at last season.
Just a few episodes.
But early on when they were first revealing his power, it was downright scary. That's a Rathacon earwig thing that still skeeves me out to this day. That idea of mind control, where the people, they weren't pod people that you could tell, like, I am your friend. Why are you being strange? Like, they weren't acting weird.
They just became loyal.
They were loyal. Yeah, exactly. They wanted to help. Yeah. Like, it made them happy to help.
Yeah.
They also did a good job
with, like, the other planet, I thought.
They did, yeah.
And, like, you know, that was simple. Like, it was a simple gel effect in the desert or whatever. Yeah. But, like, it worked.
It worked. And I love, I mean, there's a man in suit, more like, heartwarming, like, oh, it's the gel day for night kind of, you know. But yeah, I love the idea that they had basically had an Inhuman that terrified other Inhumans to the point that they kicked him onto another planet.
Yeah.
And God knows if that planet was inhabited when they did it.
Right.
Because, I mean, it very easily could have been, and he's had centuries or millennia to kill everything on it. And I love that a misinformed group of whack jobs who want power would start worshiping that thing on scant information.
Sure.
And then not understand just how bad, there's a reason that we sent it to another planet. I loved all of that. And in true perfect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fashion, everything I just mentioned is like 15 minutes of beautiful gems scattered across 22 hours of television.
Yeah. How do they have, what's his name? Powers Booth.
Yeah.
In there and not use them well. How do they have Patton Oswalt? And it seems like
they got all the Patton Oswalts. Yeah, they have the Patton's Oswalt.
Yeah, and they have him like lackey comic relief, which, you know, him being comic relief makes sense, but never used effectively for Patton Oswalt.
And that embarrassment, that bit of secret shame of like, and we're a comic book show, but we're not a comic book show, guys. Look, Patton Oswalt was the only person walking around that show with none of that. Yeah. Every time that man's on screen, you know that he's the only one on screen who's like, read all of these comics and is stoked to be here.
Do you think that maybe the problem is anytime they try to get talent to come on the show, they're like, you're going to be in Marvel, you're just not going to be making Marvel money. Like in reference to the cinematic universe, like, oh, like, I might hold out
lean hard into the Easter eggs and stuff? No.
No, not
at all. Oh, well then, fuck.
I hated Blair Underwood as that, basically, it looked like what's his name, from Gargoyles.
Yeah.
From Gargoyles.
What was that guy's name? Well, Lash is what they call the monster.
Yeah, it's Lash.
The Gargoyles monster.
What a waste. Another waste. I like Blair Underwood, but
Blair Underwood's great. I get, you know, the desire to have these big characters get to have like some big reveal of like, oh, it was actually this other kind of bad guy.
Yeah.
What's the Twin Peaks guy that was in this?
Oh, Colin McLaughlin.
McLaughlin was Mr. Hyde.
He was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, he just chews scenery. Like
He also seemed to get it in a way.
Like, you could tell he got to set every day and looked around and went, all right, I know where I am.
You know, it's I keep thinking about that. The second Punisher movie, where they cast Dominic West, and it seemed like Dominic West, in a way similar to Tommy Lee Jones in Batman Forever, like they wanted to be in such an over the top comic book movie, and no one else was. And when no one else does, it ruins it for like both sides, You can't have one person be over the top and everyone else try and like be real and grounded. It's such a disconnect.
Can I tell you what I think's going on? They throw them little bits, like, we're going to do Mr. Hyde, or I do think that people came to them, like Marvel overseer, whoever is coming, I don't think it's Kevin Feige, whoever, says, hey, you guys need to do Ghost Rider and Darkhold this season. Like, even if I give them the benefit of the doubt that was imposed upon them. If that's the case, then what you do is you don't bring Jeffrey Mace in as your director. You bring in Damian Hellstrom. You bring in somebody who has magical leanings, and he's like, hi, I'm your new director. This is our priority now. And you have the cast commenting on, why are we dealing with all this magic shit? Like, this is not our thing. And the director is the one. Like, you have a reason why you've pivoted to all of this stuff.
Yeah, because it feels all like sort of happenstance.
Yes.
It's like everyone's tripping into these scenarios rather than there being an ultimate force that's kind of guiding and forcing this weirdness upon them. Like, you're following the watchdogs and look, they happen to be interacting with, Ghost Rider popped up. Yeah. Like, well, have it have a little bit more drive, a little more focus.
It is exactly what Kyle Volte said about Legends of Tomorrow. If you look at it as a role-playing game where the DM is doing his best to keep up, it makes a lot more sense. But it's like a bad version of the
role-playing
game.
Yeah, I was about
game.
To say, but like at least with DM. Legends of Tomorrow, I actually would want to sit through that game occasionally.
Yeah.
This, like, the DM's not having to keep up. You're boring the DM.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, would you guys stop arguing over this and someone choose a direction to go? We can't just stay in this tavern. The bigger question for me on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is how do you have a comic book show? Like, how are you taking source material from an industry that is split down the middle of visual artists and writers, and you have a badly written show that doesn't look great? When, like, literally everyone standing behind you, like anyone involved that you took any of this source material from, if they had just not let go of their grip on the book, if you had just pulled them onto set with you, you'd immediately have the consultant you need.
Yeah. I mean, Jay Farber is working over in CBS on Zoo. Joshua Filkov, who's a comic book writer, is working on, I think, NCIS. Like, there are comic book writers who you could get who have TV experience.
Brian K. Vaughan's wandered past a TV set before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that that's gone well, but...
I just... Yeah. I agree with you guys. I don't know why they keep screwing the pooch on this show. I don't know why it's still on air. It's got like 2.5 million, I think. Although it does go up to about 6 million when they include like downloads. People DVR.
It's partly my fault. I can't actually answer the question or justify it to you, Grant, but I still watch this train wreck and like it's my fault. I'm sorry, guys.
But you've been a lifelong comic fan.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
It's the Lucy football thing. Like they just keep holding up a football where I'm like, oh wait, turn it. I can almost see the Easter egg on the other side, you sons of bitches.
I wonder if they don't like if we could see the spikes and when more people watch. I wonder if they don't get little hits from when they do introduce somebody like the Ghost Rider.
Well, it was like 3.5 in the premiere episode, and then it continued to drop down till it like leveled out about 2.5, and then as soon as they did this life model decoy, it jumped back up to 3 again. So
yeah, here's my question, guys: if it's renewed for another season, if it gets to season 5, which is possible, it's going to have 100 episodes, right? 100 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they're at like 88.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Are you going to say it?
What?
Why do they get this money? Are you going to do that whole thing?
Okay, I'm not. Good. I'm just saying it's ridiculous that there would be 100 episodes of this show.
Well, what do you guys think of this in relation to the Netflix shows then? Like, because I keep thinking about, like, I think the Netflix shows are kind of good, but I don't know if I think they're kind of good in comparison to this. And maybe they're not that great, but they're just so much better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm with you. I don't know that the Netflix shows are... they are so much better than this, and they're my only Marvel thing on television, but they still have problems.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I do wish some of the fun that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts to have before like the teenager brain or whatever kicks in, right, and like makes them stop dancing at the dance, like because they've got all this comic material in their pocket and they almost start to have fun and then you're like they'll back off it.
Yeah.
I feel like if they would just run with those moments, like I wish the Netflix shows would have that fun sometimes.
Yeah.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't step it up otherwise.
The Netflix shows have definitely deliberately set themselves in sort of a noir space, especially Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
But Daredevil and Luke Cage have always been a bit in that noir space. Luke Cage is probably the one that's most outside of it in his roots. Outside of it, he's more of a traditional superhero character.
When it's been the brightest lit, I feel like, of the three shows. Yeah.
So I think that what the Netflix shows do better, first of all, is production design. You know, yes, that Daredevil costume's ugly, but the costumes sort of aren't the point of a lot of those. And the casting is equally good or better. Like, they get the perfect cast for it. When they're on, they're really on. And when they're off, the biggest complaint is usually the pacing.
Yeah.
And that's, if my only complaint about S.H.I.E.L.D. was the pacing, I'd be a happy man.
I'm going to throw a controversial opinion out there. I would say that the second half, I loved Luke Cage, but I'd say the second half of the Luke Cage season isn't as good as this first half of the Ghost Rider season.
You're like, a crazy person.
I would pull that over the second half.
You're a crazy man.
I think the production, like the production design got really bad in the second half of the season, and like some of the story stuff got bad. Yeah. I'd go out there and I'd say it.
I don't know, man.
I feel like you still had a
Ghost Rider over Diamondback.
Like, even if the dinner conversation turned to crap, we were still at a finer restaurant.
Those rats weren't here when we got here. Yeah. They showed up after that.
I think another big misstep in the show was taking Mockingbird and what was that, Nick Blood character?
Yeah, Nick Blood and Bobby.
I don't remember
his Yeah, Nick Blood and Bobby.
Yeah, what was his name on the show?
Was Nick? Yeah, well, it was Nick
Blood's actor,
right? Nick Blood is the actor.
Oh my god, that's right. Nick Blood's the actor. That's not shit.
I don't remember.
Nick Blood is Keith
Hunter?
Sweat. Hunter. Yeah, Hunter. That's what it was.
Lance Hunter.
Not Keith Sweat. I was way off there.
Keith Sweat.
Yeah, Lance Hunter. Yeah.
And, oh my god.
Like they seemed to fit more of what I kind of want this show to be. Yeah. I mean, just Adrian Padalecki is. Padalecki, is that?
Palicki. You put Adrian Palicki in anything and it immediately gets better.
Yes.
She was in About a Boy and it made About a Boy watchable for a while.
Oh my God, that's right.
If you put Adrian Palicki in anything, I will watch it.
There was a Wonder Woman pilot with her for a minute.
I would watch that pilot, even though I've heard it's terrible.
But like he as well, I thought like he had the right sense of like cheekiness and contrarianness to like to everyone else.
Fighting his way up to the clairvoyant. That whole plot line is fun.
Yeah.
He was their Hawkeye. Because Mockingbird is married to Hawkeye in the comics, and so
that's right, to Clint.
He was there. He was their Hawkeye, so he was their comic book version of Hawkeye, which means he was a smart ass. He had problems with authority. They definitely like, they're like, we can't have Hawkeye. What if we create a character who essentially is Hawkeye?
And it was a good call on their part. Yeah. But then they also bring in that boring as fuck dude, Lincoln. I want to say his name was.
Oh God, Lincoln.
Is that the electrical dude?
The electrical doctor.
I don't know how it is possible for a man to be that white, but he was so white. You're like, what do white people like? That's what white people are like.
It's just so vanilla about everything.
Yeah, that kid could have played Cannonball in a New Mutants movie or something. Like, he is Sam Guthrie white.
But yeah, I just like, and then they finally killed him off. But by that time, they'd already gotten rid of Mockingbird. And the thing that really bugs me about Mockingbird and Hunter being gone is that they were going to do a spinoff.
Yes.
With Dominic Fortune, played by Delroy Lindo, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Delroy Lindo's great. Yeah, yeah. Marvel's Most Wanted seemed like it had a chance to be, we're going to start another S.H.I.E.L.D. show that does the things that we meant to do with this one.
That's what I thought they were
going to
do.
And then let this other one die.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to do. And then they didn't. And I kind of resent S.H.I.E.L.D. for that. That, like, they ruined the spinoff. Yeah,
I was kind of hoping it would be like the angel that just slowly steals all of Buffy's talent.
Yes, I was hoping the exact same thing, and that is a bummer, because I felt like once they'd done that, they at least should have brought him back, because Mockingbird was my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
And I miss her.
Her torture scene standing up to Grant, she got off, like, she made some of that dialogue really work.
Yep.
Yeah, I missed her this season.
And the action sequences were good, like, her fight scenes were better.
Yeah.
It's just because she's the physical actress who can handle, Ming-Na Wen is good, but I don't think her action, like her stunt double and all her action stuff is usually not as good.
Sometimes
as
they do it really close. I think there's an advantage they have with Palicki being so tall.
Yes.
Too. Like they have to, in a way, like take further back shots.
Yeah.
And it allows for a little bit more drama there.
Well, and I also think she's a physical actress. I mean, she was in the Keanu movie, Keanu Reeves movie, John Wick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So she is sort of an active. I think she's someone who can do stunts and that kind of type of thing.
And she used to always, do kickboxing to Jason Street. I think that's how he got paralyzed.
That's how he got. Yes, Friday Night Lights season 2 was all about her kickboxing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been. You don't know. You guys haven't watched Friday Night Lights season 2, and if
don't watch it.
Don't watch season 2. Want season 1 to season 3? Just go that way.
Well, how about we do this real quick? What if we go around and pick off all the people how about this? We go around the room and each of us pick a person that we want to kill off the show.
Okay.
We see who's the last people standing.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. All right. You start.
You want me to start?
You start.
The first person I would kick off the show would be Daisy.
Yeah. That's obviously 100%.
I'm sorry. I know she's got powers.
Table rule. No more hot chicks.
But I just find that it makes such an imbalance to the rest of the team.
Yep. Yeah.
What about you, Les?
Who would you kill off?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Daisy as well. And she's grown.
Oh, no, you got
to
pick someone else
Daisy's
now.
Already
pick
dead. Someone,
yeah,
now
so she's already gone. Damn.
We're whittling down.
I would have said Grant, but he's gone now and he became interesting.
Yeah.
At this point, I want Phil gone.
Really?
Phil Coulson. Wow.
I want to free that actor up to stop being Phil Coulson. I feel like he needed to just stay dead.
He does waste a lot of his time on the show.
I kind of agree with you, and I'm kind of surprised, but I think you're right, because Coulson...
It would cause them to have to do some kind of shakeup that would last at least 3 or 4 episodes before they normalized it again.
Yeah, I agree.
What about you, Kyle?
Easy answer. I'm surprised you guys haven't said it. Fitz?
Yeah, Fitz would have been my next choice.
You kill Fitz off, then Simmons, she's all yours.
Yeah.
Whoa!
You got to be logical about this. And you already killed off Daisy.
So if we've killed them all off, assuming we're talking just regular cast, I mean, is Scottish Doctor Dude a regular now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he's a regular, you kill him real early, too. He's my pick. He's gone.
John Hannah.
Yeah, I like that actor.
No,
by
he
the way.
Is spectacular. 4 weddings and a funeral, sliding doors. That dude's
love
great.
That actor. Was he the brother in The Mummy, or is he a different guy?
Yep, brother in The Mummy. Yeah.
Kill that guy. He's terrible in this.
I can't kill Mac.
No.
He's got a shotgun axe. He'll fuck you up.
I can't kill Agent May.
Can you not? I could have.
I could kill May.
Oh, yeah. She's my next.
I mean, I can't kill her.
We've already got the decoy.
Next. No, I can't kill Simmons. Like, in a way, I still feel like those three, there's something there.
I don't know.
There's nothing
man.
There for me on May.
Yeah, I feel like May.
I mean, can I just kill the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D.? that exists.
I honestly think that Ming-Na Wen, same as the Coulson argument. Free up that actress. Let her go do something more interesting, because she's wasted here.
Well, and now that Kyle said it, I can't stop thinking about it. This never needed to be an ensemble show at all. Like, even if you didn't want to ape X-Files and do a two-person thing, I would rather have a Bob from Hydra show. Than an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Yeah.
Just to have one random dude who keeps getting sent on missions. It'd be like like the two guys in Rome. You know, where eventually Caesar goes, I don't know who you all are, but you keep surviving shit. You got to be important.
Well, if you have like your Mulder and your Scully, like Hydra Bob could totally be like that third character who's always giving them the intel they need because he could care about.
He could just be the guy that they start following at work of like, what is he doing?
So are we really saying that Mac and Simmons is the Scully and Mulder here?
Yeah, Mac and Simmons, I'd watch that.
I would watch the Mac and Simmons show.
They're both scientists. They're both like field engineer type scientists. They both become badasses.
They research like the origin story of like obscure, like, you know, C-level characters where we don't actually see them, but we see like the aftermath of their powers.
Yeah, they're
or whatever.
Going looking for activated metahumans. Yeah, I would watch that show.
And then, throw them in with somebody like Weird Rider, like some kind of spacefaring weirdo that can pop in occasionally.
By the way, if that was the pitch for the show from the start, everything would have made sense. Mac and Simmons are the ones getting into the Inhumans because S.H.I.E.L.D. has tasked them to deal with the Inhumans. Mac and Simmons are tracking down the Ghost Rider because someone has tasked them to look into the Ghost Rider. It would all make so much more sense.
You could
even
do really funny stuff of having them tasked to do things, a movie come out, and the next week on the show there'd be a complete change and them grouch about it like
it got bumped
up.
Yeah,
like, I don't know, they're just unloaded, like the entire lab's being carried out, like, I don't know, we're now on to what the fuck's an Inhuman.
they're like we were tracking this guy called the Winter Soldier, and so we got a memo saying it's all wrapped up. Yeah, that would have been a great show. The problem was Mac wasn't there in the beginning.
No,
they didn't get Mac till later.
Well, they could have used Coulson in the beginning had they not ruined him for
us.
It could have been Coulson and Simmons.
Yeah. Still pretending like Fitzsimmons being one person was a joke that was working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we've solved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Fixed it.
Nice. You know, despite what problems we have with this show, I think discussing it is a lot of fun with you guys. Yeah.
And I expect my no prize to show up. At any moment. Like Marvel, I feel like that, Randy, I feel like that's why there's this constant, I can fix this show.
It's the no prize thing.
Is that Marvel raised us right on this. Like all Marvel comics when I was a kid had a, you know, if you caught a continuity error, if you found a way to retcon justify it and you emailed it to Marvel, or not emailed, you wrote a freaking letter to Marvel and they'd occasionally would print it in the back and you would get a no prize, which literally got you nothing.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what you know.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much, EJ McGinnis, for requesting this episode. We hope that we did you justice and didn't offend you if you love the show.
Other TV Dudes listeners, if you'd like us to talk shit about your favorite show, just email us at.
Yeah, well, become a patron over at patreon.com/TV Dudes. And yeah, we'd love your input on other little special shows we might want to cover. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Les. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Grant.
And until next week,
TV Dudes out.